Hey guys, ever felt stuck in the rut? Just like lost your excitement? Tomorrow, you're just thinking, it's another day. You can't sort of see beyond your situation at the moment. Maybe it just feels tough, feels like nothing's ever going to change. And I'm sure a lot of us are feeling like that at the moment, especially with everything that's going on around us during this pandemic. I was only sharing with my team the other day and saying it's really hard to plan beyond the end of the month, and I get excited about anything beyond the end of the month because we don't even know what tomorrow is going to bring us, let alone anything else. And you know, for a lot of us, we just need doesn't need to be that way. You know, we can still get excited, we can still catch our imagination again and still get excited about life and about the future, even when things are quite uncertain for us, even when things we don't feel like we want to get excited. And a few years ago, I was stuck in a rut. Okay, I got myself in a place. I wasn't even that old, but life just came a little bit stale, a little bit boring, a little bit predictable. I was trying everything to get myself out of this place. And I picked up a book by a guy called Owen McManus, and it was called The Barbarian Spirit. And it was about living an adventure for God again, getting excited about life again for God. And when I read that book, it completely changed everything. In fact, I soon moved jobs. I left Silverdale Elam to come to Burslem Elam. And Naomi, she changed her perspective on things. She started to dream again. We both dreamt again about what our careers and about what God wanted to do in our lives. And sometimes we just need something to spark us into getting ourselves out of that rut. Now, whether you're young, old, whatever situation you're going through, we can all go through those same things. We can just go over the same things over and over again. We get stuck in that place where we don't want to be. Now think about your dinners that you have at home. How many of you just have the same things every day? You know, when I was a kid growing up, I could predict what day would have beef, what day would have duck, what day would have chicken. I had my mum sort of follow that rut of things. And I found we can do the same in our family. We have to stir things up. And so today I want to look at how do we get ourselves out of that rut? How do we get excited about the future again? How do we re-engage our imagination and get excited about what God wants to do with us? And so there's five things I want to talk about today. Just five ideas. It all start with R-E. Like incredible. I've never done that in a sermon before. Maybe once or twice, but not very often. And the five things I want to talk about today is this. About trying to release our inner child again. To rediscover your desires and passions. Don't worry, it's not quite what you think. Redefine failure. Remove cynicism. Some of you really need to hear that point. And recapture your first love. Because I believe when we start to do some of these things, that actually we can start getting excited about the future again. We can start dreaming again. We can start dreaming what God wants to do and start living the life that Jesus called us to live. Jesus didn't say, I've come to give you a boring life. There's a lot of Christians who believe that. A lot of Christians, when they become a Christian, it's like all the fun is sucked out of their souls. But Jesus actually said, I've come to give you life and life to the full. And Jesus wants us to get excited. He wants to use us. He wants us to enjoy life, enjoy the world that he has created for us. So let's unpack some of these ideas. The first thing is this. Release your inner child. If you live with me, you know it's not hard for me to release my inner child. My wife always says that when she married me, she's always going to have an extra kid. Okay, because I'm one of those. I get excited about a lot of stuff. I shared before in previous messages. I'm a big kid at heart. And the words that kids love to use, especially when my kids are playing, is this. They say this. Let's imagine. Let's pretend. Let's imagine, let's pretend. It's the words I always tease them. Bethany and Sophia are always saying when they're playing their games. My kids have got this amazing imagination. And when I was younger, I was the same. I used to always dream up scenarios, dream dreams, and just enjoy life. And this idea of imagination, of rediscovering our imagination, rediscovering our inner child, is really important because as we get older, we lose that sense of fun often. We can lose that sense of imagination and creativity that God has placed inside us, that we see in children. You know, Jesus said these words in Matthew 18. I encourage you to check the passage out for yourself. And he says this, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Now, we love to focus on the first bit as Christians about turn from your sins, and that's really important. We really need to turn from our sins when we become Christians. But we also miss the next bit where Jesus says, and become like a little child. Now, Jesus doesn't specify here in what way we need to become like a little child. And I've heard sermons about being vulnerable and approaching Jesus and being really open to Jesus. All those are really important. But I just wonder if Jesus also meant just recapture your imagination, recapture that playfulness that you were created with, that little children have, that excitement little kids have for life when they discover something new. Is that what Jesus wants? Maybe you just need to rediscover that inner child in your life. Now, our kids love doing Lego in our house, and I love doing Lego as well. But I love following the instructions to building everything exactly how the Lego designer had planned them to be. And the other day, with my youngest daughter, Bethany, who's a lot more creative than I've ever have been, we were making her Lego house or princess house. And I said to Bethany to put the pink flower here and the red flower there. She goes, "Dad, I don't want to do it like that." I said, "No, but the instructions say this is what it need, where it needs to be." And she goes, "Dad, I just want to be creative." And I thought, wow, actually, a certain element of truth. I had to let her just be creative because she didn't want to stick everything exactly where it was supposed to be. Because she just wanted to be creative with the Lego that she had. And guys, can we, you know, be the same? Maybe we're so certain about getting things in a certain place and doing it in a certain way. Maybe we just need to rediscover our inner kid, our inner child. As Jesus said, become like a little child to get into the kingdom of heaven. Maybe we just need to recreate, rediscover that inner child in our hearts. Start dreaming again. Start using our imagination, however young or old we are. The next thing is this. You also need to rediscover are your passions and your desires. Now, as we mature, we get more responsibilities, we get mortgages, we get jobs, we have family commitments, we have friendship commitments, a lot of things happen. And so often the stuff that we really love doing, the stuff that God has created us to be and the uniqueness of us gets lost. You know, I used to think when my kids were a bit younger than they are now, I used to say, when my kids are older, I'm going to have time to do stuff. When my kids are older, when they're at school, I'm going to have more time to do this. When this happens, I'll have more time to do my hobbies. Do you know what I've discovered? I'm never going to have more time. I'm never going to get any more time than I have at the moment. And I'm going to have 24 hours a day when I'm 50 years old, to when I'm 30 years old, to when I'm 40 years old, or when I'm 70 years old. Because, you know, you don't get more time. And you're never quite going to get there. And during the first lockdown, I noticed something. A lot of people started to slow down. And when people started to slow down, they discovered things they really enjoy doing. So I've seen a lot of people and met a lot of people who've discovered running. And now I see me going, running, really? That's not a fun thing. But they're loving it and they're getting excited about running. I know that because when I go to buy my running gear, it's been really hard to get hold of. The other thing is baking. I've seen so many people discover baking. I've had friends who got into making sourdough bread, and it's absolutely incredible. They discovered a passion within them. Some people have discovered reading again. You know, it's amazing during the lockdown how people, when they slowed down, they rediscovered those passions that were within them. And you know, when I was a young Christian, I used to quote this verse, and our friends, we always used to quote the verse from Psalm 37, verse 4. It says this, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires." Now, as Christians, we tend to over-spiritualize this sometimes, and we over-spiritualize a lot of things, and we'll sort of talk about the desires, the godly desires that God has given you, and everything should be godly, Brother clarified. Don't give in to those desires, which ain't good. Not a good thing to do. But sometimes we can say, oh, when God wants to give the desire to feed the poor, brilliant. If God's giving that desire, go and do it. But you know what? God sometimes gives you those desires, those little creative bits he's got in your heart. You know, whether it's drawing, whether it's running, whether it's playing football. God just gives you those passions in your heart, and sometimes we need to rediscover them. I'm really impacted by the Bible. If you look at Exodus, how it says the first man to be filled with the Spirit was an artist, Balel. It's incredible what God did in his life. God filled him to be an artist. You know, what is it that you want to do? You know, if you want to get excited about the future, start enjoying life again. Start getting into your, rediscovering your passions, rediscovering your desires, rediscovering the stuff that you've always wanted to do. You know, my desire, my passions, the things I love doing that aren't spiritual, because I have a lot of spiritual stuff as well. I love running, I love baking, I love reading, I love doing Lego. Okay, and I make sure now that I have time to do those. It's time to enjoy those things that God has created me to enjoy. You know, when I start doing those things, when I start getting my running gear on, my wife said, it's funny, when I haven't been running for a while, as soon as I put on my running gear, she said, I don't even have to be out the door, just putting on the clothes. She sees a difference in my face. I light up. I look like I'm ready to enjoy what I'm going to do. And guys, sometimes maybe some of you just need to rediscover your passions, rediscover your desires, rediscover the things that God has put in your heart that you really, really enjoy doing. Go and do them. Just, you want to get excited about life again. You want this to be a year of new beginnings and new opportunities. Rediscover those things. The next thing, the third thing we need to do here is redefine failure. Psalm 37, which talks about your desires, also later on in verse 23 and 24, it says this: the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. He delights in every detail of their lives. This is Psalm 37. Read it for yourself. I'm not making this up. And then it says, though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by their hand. And I think it's amazing how at the beginning of the psalm, David talks about God giving you desires of your heart, those who follow him, and the desires. And later on, he says how God celebrates, how God delights in the things that you do in your life and delights in your life. But I also find it fascinating here that David talks about the fact that we're going to stumble. You know, when we start dreaming, when we just start discovering the passions that God's put in our heart, when we have new opportunities in front of us, when new things happen, guys, we're going to stumble. We're going to fail. We're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to get things wrong. But that's all right. You're going to fail. You're going to mess up. You're going to get things wrong. But that doesn't matter. Because God is there with you. He's still going to catch you. He's still going to say, it's all right. Get back up. Keep going. I won't let you fall. You're going to stumble. You're going to fail. But failure doesn't mean complete end. Failure just means you learn how not to do it. You know, when I was a young minister, one person came and spoke to me. They said, Jim, I'm going to give you some advice. And the number one advice they gave me was this. They said, remember, you are only good as your last. You're only as good as your last mistake. You are only as good as your last mistake. It paralyzed me. I didn't want to make any mistakes because they say everyone will forget what you do before. It's your last mistake that always counts. I didn't want to do anything because I was scared at one stage. It just starts to really paralyze my life, fear in my life. Because I thought if I fail, people are going to judge me and they're not going to listen to me. And I've had to learn that, you know what, failure is okay. Messing up's okay. You know, I'm sure you know about the story of Thomas Edison, the guy who developed the light bulb. He said these words. This is what happened. A reporter asked him, how does it feel to fail 1,000 times? And Edison replied, I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps. Great success is built on failure, frustration, and even catastrophe. Listen to that. Great success is built on failure, frustration, and even catastrophe. You know, some of you are too scared maybe to try something different at this time. And you need to redefine failure. Failure is not messing up. Failure is just learning how not to do it. And if you fail, it's all right. You're going to stumble. But as it says here in the psalm, God won't let you fall. Redefine failure. Redefine it. Don't see it as negative. See it as something positive. Right. Next thing. This is really important for a lot of people. Remove cynicism. Remove cynicism. Say that with me at home, especially if you're cynical. Remove cynicism. Some of you are saying, Jim, or some of you have been cynical about my message so far, but you need to remove it. Okay, you know, a lot of people have been talking about this recently. And I think it's really, really important. If you want to get excited about the future, stop being cynical. Stop being cynical. I heard Pastor Kerry Newhoff, who I listen to quite a lot, a Canadian pastor. He referred to one of my favorite books of the Bible, Ecclesiastes. And he said, Ecclesiastes, if you haven't read it, check it out. It's really good. It's written by a cynic. It's written by a guy who goes, oh, what's the point in life? What is the point of saving money? What is the point of living? And I'm sure a lot of us know people like that. You might even be like that Victor Muldrew character. But guys, if you want to get your mojo back, if you want to get excited about life, you need to stop thinking like that. You need to stop saying there's nothing new under the sun. You need to stop saying, history's going to repeat itself. Here we go again. Just get rid of all that cynicism. You know, I remember my previous regional leader, Kevin Pete, saying these words. He said, the things you need to protect yourself from most as a minister is this, is cynicism and getting a hard heart. You know what? The gospel shows that there is hope. And you know, when I read Jesus's gospels, it says, wherever messed up a situation is, whatever terrible a situation is, there is hope. That's sort of the message of the gospel. It's the message that Jesus came to bring. He came to bring us hope. Now, when we start getting cynical, we lose hope. And guys, sometimes we need to just rediscover that hope. We need to rediscover the hope that things can get better, that we can get excited about life again. And we just need to stop being cynical. Say it with me again. I will not be cynical. I will not be cynical. We need to get that into our head, because as soon as we are cynical, we start losing our joy. We start losing our passion. We start losing our hope. I love how Kerry Niehoff, in his book, he talks about defeating cynicism, and he says this, hope again, believe again, trust again. I'm going to say that again. Hope again, believe again, trust again, and be curious. Cultivate curiosity long enough and hope will flourish. Hope, when hope flourishes, cynicism doesn't stand a chance. Guys, the Bible's all about hope, faith, hope, and love. Guys, start hoping again. You want to share the message of Jesus with people and you've had so many rejections, start getting your hope that someone else won't be rejected. Start getting excited. Start dreaming that people will listen to the message that you have. Guys, when you start doing that, your cynicism will start fading away. Now, final point, bear with me. We're nearly there, okay? I'm gonna get this under 20 minutes for us today. This is the last point. Recapture your first love. Recapture your first love. Really important. If you wanna start dreaming again, don't and stop just existing. You wanna get your excitement back. Recapture your first love. I was watching Friends the other day, and if those of you who know Friends will know this, two of the main characters fall in love, Monica and Chandler. And just before Monica gets married, she says, you know what, I'm going to have that feeling of never falling in love again for the first time. That butterflies in your stomach, and she describes what it's like to fall in love for the first time. That excitement you get. Because I know when I first became a Christian, I had that same excitement with connecting with God for the first time. I just wanted to tell everyone how great Jesus was. You know, I wanted everyone to experience what I experienced. I was so in love with him. But you know, as Christians, as we go down the path, we need to keep falling in love with Jesus over and over again. You know, I say to my wife the other day, you know, in marriage, I love him more now than I did when we were first married. And I have to constantly fall in love with her over and over again in a really good way, and a deeper love constantly. Our love gets deeper and deeper. And it's the same for our relationship with Jesus. We need to make the effort to constantly fall in love, to constantly recapture that love that we have. Because if we don't, we will take him for granted. And when we take him for granted, we start to lose that joy and that excitement. You know, I just want you guys, you need to remember this. You need to keep connected to God. The same God who put the stars in space loves you. The same God who put all the billions of stars in the sky, he loves you. The same God who created the universe, okay, and create that, however big the universe is, and it's pretty big, he knows your name. The God who created the laws of nature and physics decided before creation that he would make you and knew that you would mess up. So before he even created you, he already had a plan to be born as a man to die for you. He planned all of that because he loves you so much. Isn't that incredible? This is a God who's worth loving. Guys, you know what? We need to just recapture that love and that amazing awe of how great God is. We need to rediscover, recapture our first love. You know what? Any relationship, as I've already shared, we can get complacent. And in Revelation 2 verse 4, Jesus says this to a group of Christians who became complacent. He says this, he says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love that you had at first. He said, the love that you had for me at first, you've forsaken it. If we want to get our excitement back, there's no better place than recapturing our first love that we had for Christ. Getting it back, getting excited about him, looking to him and not to ourselves. So in the middle of lockdown, you know, we can still get our energy back. we can still get our mojo back, for want of a better expression. We can still get excited about the new beginnings and new opportunities that have been put before us. Sometimes we just need to change our perspective and change that perspective of our situation that we're in. So let's release our inner child again. Let's rediscover our desires and passions. Let's redefine failure. Let's remove cynicism. And let's recapture the first love we have for Christ. And guys, this isn't a formula that means everything will happen straight away. But I believe if we start doing these five things, that we will reconnect and we'll get excited again about our life. So I just want to encourage you, if you want the notes for this, the notes are online. I encourage you to read some of the passages I've shared with at home, just to encourage yourself. The link should be above or below or above, get the right way around. Okay, which takes you to our website where there's a PDF to download. Just come some questions and something further reading. Just some things. But guys, you know what? God wants you to have a life and life to the full. He wants you to seize the opportunities that are in front of you. And these are just five ways that we can start doing to start getting back to the place, to start reimagining again, to start dreaming again and recapturing the joy that we can have in Christ. Have a great day. And if you're free, I'd love to connect with you tonight at church at 5:30.